roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Thursday, November 12th. Hope you're all doing well out there. This is a live showing and we'll be with you for the next hour. I say that because we came from the podcast world and we've dipped in, we've dipped out, but no, we're live Mondays and Thursdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, at least an hour. Trust us, we'll go long if we have to. It's going to be a fun show today. We'll recap Dana White Contender Series, which took place back on Tuesday, and also XFC. I caught it last night. I don't know if you all did, but it was a fun show. Hey, NBC Sports, man, you get to watch... telling you, man, you get to watch MMA on television. It's a little bit of a breath of fresh air. ESPN is the leader. UFC is the MMA leader. But I'm telling you, that buffering can get on my tits. Anyway, it was refreshing to see, you know, MMA again on television. And guess what? There's still two more cards. CBS Sports tonight for Bellator. We got a title fight. We got Grand Prix quarterfinals. One of them's basically a duel fight. Patricio Freire is in the quarterfinals of the Featherweight Grand Prix, but his fight is an actual title fight. And then UFC, of course, on Saturday, Paul Felder saved the day. Paul Felder will be fighting RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, the former UFC lightweight champ. He's going all the way down to 55. In fact, I think they're weighing in about 24 hours. So all the best to all the athletes, but especially Paul Felder, because he did not know he was going to be fighting this past Monday morning, and then he decided to fill in for Islam Makhachev, who was out of that fight. Sam Alvey will join us towards the end of the show, might have a surprise towards the beginning. Buckle up, Junkie Nation. It's MMA Junkie Radio, again, on a Thursday, November 12th.
Habla español, amigo.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
All right. We're still good, right, Gus?
Yeah, you know what I realized was the background.
Yeah, I was looking for the little 10-second warning there. Then I noticed I was live. Thank God I didn't pick my nose or nothing. All right, folks. What's going on? Again, Goz and I, we host the MMA Junkie Radio Show. We've been doing this for a long time, and we're gracious to be here on Sportscaster like we have been for the last 6 months. We moved from Wednesdays to Mondays and Thursdays. We're going to talk mixed martial arts. Goz, what do you think, man? Can you take these types of weeks? Dana White Contender Series on Tuesday. Wednesday, meaning last night, XFC on NBC Sports. Tonight, Bellator on CBS Sports. One championship if you want to throw them in the loop. BR Live tomorrow morning, early morning. Not a stacked card like 2 weeks ago, but they're a formidable promotion. And UFC on Saturday. And that's no disrespect to CFFC, Titan, Cage Warriors. I haven't even looked. I mean, they may have a show going on. They may not. LFA, of course. But what do you think of this type of schedule?
I like it. I can do it. Here's the thing, though. I can't do it all live because of the commercials. And especially when it's like an internet stream, sometimes it'll just go on forever. So what I have to do is somehow condense that time. So what I've been doing lately is just waiting for the event to finish. And what I do is, like, maybe I'll work out during the event or something like that. That way when I come back, it's on the DVR and I can just get to the fights. Just the fights, the fights, the fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can do it that way. But it is kind of a lot. And that's what you're asking from an MMA fan, which most, I'm going to say most MMA fans at some point were boxing fans or pro wrestling fans or football, basketball. They have other interests in life, you know? So if you throw that in, like, for instance, today, World Cup qualifiers, international friendlies, yeah, that's another 2.5 hours of your day that you gotta sit in front of a TV or a laptop or whatever. It's freaking tough, man. It's the Thursday night football game. You know, there's a lot of things out there that are competing for your time. So the way I've figured out how to do this now, it just seems like I have to sacrifice some live events. Now, last night, XFC, that I was able to just put on while I was on the treadmill, and that was cool. You know, I'm killing two birds at once with one stone, but I have to multitask now to get all these things done. And they're all quality events. Like, I can't go the whole weekend without watching Bellator. I want to know what's going to happen, you know? I'm hoping they have a really good card because they really need a good card here. And they have some matchups that I think are pretty interesting, so I think it's going to be fun. And then the UFC's kind of hard to miss at any capacity. But when you throw in that little wrinkle, that little Rocky story all of a sudden with Paul Felder just jumping in at the last second and taking his tie off and getting in the cage,
mm-hmm,
yeah, that really does make things compelling. If that didn't happen, that card would be hurting, and maybe that would be a card where I didn't do it live. I would just come back and watch them boom, 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 fight, fight, fight. But yeah, overall, I mean, I'm pretty happy. About you?
Very happy, because having the 2-3 TV setup, you can always mute one thing and watch the other and go back and forth and freeze it. You can warm up dinner. You can, like you said, get a set in on the weights or feed the dog, walk the dog, answer a call, things like that. So, you know, it, that part you can do. And sorry, oh man, I was trying to wave off a call and I accidentally picked it up. So yeah, the ability to multitask is definitely something that one has to do if you want to get it all. And Goz and I are not just MMA fans. We watch a lot of sports. So when you do get to Thursday and you throw in the Thursday night game, which used to be just college, now it's pro football and college. And then it's not going on now, but for me, high school football is pretty big, and a lot of it's televised now. So yet again, you know, and then, of course, Saturday. I mean, don't even have to mention that, Saturday and Sunday. But I want to go back to Dana White Contender Series. Here are the winners. Danny Sabatello defeated Taylor Moore. Luna Pinheiro defeated Stephanie Frosto. Nicolas Mota defeated Joe Lowry. Natan Levy defeated Shaheen Santana. And Mario Souza defeated Marius. Oh, boy, why did I even go there?
Good luck.
Shea Witch or something like that. Brendan Fitzgerald was really showing off. He rehearsed it and he nailed it. Marius Shewitz. I think after like the fifth time, I was like, okay, Brendan, we get it. You nailed it. You studied it, because he was going out of his way to say it. And he even got Bisping to say it. And a lot of times Bisping will go, I'm just going to go with Marius. But no, seriously, I had a lot of fun because I saw good fighters that lost that night. So I'm just bummed that there's not another more few weeks of Dana White Contender Series where they could get their second chance. That's the one thing you get by going on the early episodes of Dana White Contender Series, especially this season, which got stretched out across 4 months. Some of these other ones, they can just kind of like hang back and see how things work out, and you could still get the call. You can impress in a losing effort. I thought Marius Shinshewitz or whatever his name was, he impressed me. That was the Jax Teller lookalike. He impressed me. I would call him in a heartbeat. And then also Shaheen Santana, same thing. I would call him as well. And he was on the losing end on Tuesday night. But they took three fighters, but I think they got their eye on more than three. So good on them. Love, love, love Dana White Contender Series. We don't have many. We might have 2 weeks left, I believe, or 1 week left. So that's kind of a bummer.
I would be curious to see an update on how big the UFC roster is, Because for all these guys that we keep adding, I don't know if it's maybe just not publicized the way it used to, but I haven't seen that many people get their pink slip or their walking papers, right? Like, do we just have a bigger roster now?
Probably. I think right now you throw 2020 out the window. Don't worry about if traditionally they've carried 500 or 600 or 400. I bet you there's a lot out there. I bet you some contracts are just frozen. I think there's some athletes that just can't go for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like seeing what I've been seeing, like the UFC is kind of playing a little bit of a hardball game just because their backs are to the wall. And so like Leon Edwards, I saw you and Mike Bond doing an interview with him. That's probably not a fight that he envisioned taking against Khamzat Chimaev, but he is, you know. And then they just signed Jeff Neal versus Stephen Thompson. But it seems like we're getting, you know, a lot of fighters that want to fight pretty frequently. Though those retirements hurt. Don't get me wrong. Khabib, Cejudo, Cormier, Silva. Come on, you know. But you got Israel ready to fight again for another title versus Blachowicz, you know. And if not him, then you got Glover Teixeira ready to go. So Kevin Holland, he's stepping up. You know, he's fighting the Joker Hermanson. So I don't think it's a never-ending thing. I don't think it's anything you can ever predict. It's unpredictable. Felder taking off the tie, you know, like a superhero and saying, hey, I'm just going to jump in and fight. And I remember Paul Felder a few months ago was calling fights and then took off the tie and ran back and cornered Jared Gordon. You know what I mean? So this isn't the first time Paul Felder's pulled a Frank Trigg. Frank Trigg's the OG. Frank Trigg fought at Pride 32 and 33? Mm-hmm. Okay. Pride 33. And he fought and then came back and called like the last seven fights. So pretty amazing what some of these guys and gals can do. Really quick, last night on XFC, Austin Bashi defeated Enzo Perez. Jaziro Boye defeated Kurt Hollibaugh won that fight. Excuse me. I'm just looking at the matchups here. Sorry about that. Kenneth Cross defeated Jarrell Askew. Jessica Aguilar defeated Danielle Taylor. And, you know, I don't know who won the main event. Who won Sukumta and Faria?
Sukumta won, but it was a split decision. And the first judge actually had it 30-27 for the other guy.
Holy cow. I just remembered I took a call from our parents and I froze it. And then when I came back, I think I got distracted and I never finished it. I kept seeing highlights. I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. And I kept looking away and I wanted to get to the beginning. And I just realized right now that I only saw some of it while on mute and then froze it. But I did see Aguilar versus Taylor. Aguilar started off strong. Taylor came back and finished strong. And then Kenneth Cross, I'm bringing these two up, Aguilar and Kenneth Cross. They were recent guests of ours here on Junkie Radio video style. Kenneth Cross looked good, Goes.
He did.
I think Dana White Contender Series messed up by not keeping him because he looked pretty athletic, pretty well-rounded, like a savage. Talked a good game, had a great mustache going on. So all together, I really enjoyed XFC, and I still get to watch the main event. Now I know the result, but I still get to watch at least that because I heard it was pretty decent.
Kenneth Cross actually knocked his guy out, I want to say two, maybe even three times in that fight, I think, where they were just flash knockouts, and he woke the guy back up. I mean, he looked phenomenal. Only thing that sucks is he missed weight, you know, and it's kind of hard to celebrate after something like that, but he got the finish, and he moves on in the tournament, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, tonight we got Bellator 252, Pitbull versus Carvalho. They're still finishing out on DAZN in case some of you are still, you know, if you don't have CBS Sports, this is an international show here on Sportscaster. People watch it from different parts of the world. If you have DAZN and not CBS Sports, there you go. You can still watch it. 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, an early start, and it's a 3-fight main card, Emmanuel Sanchez versus Daniel Weichel. This is a featherweight tournament quarterfinal. One bracket is still in the quarterfinals. The other bracket's in the semifinals. McKee's bracket's in the semifinals. This one's still in the quarterfinals. Yaroslav Amosov versus Logan Storley. And then you got Patricio Frady defending his belt against Pedro Carvalho. And this is simultaneously a Grand Prix quarterfinal. So we will be all caught up now. It's don't give Bellator a hard time on this. They had an idea for 16-man featherweight Grand Prix. They've had their champion defend along the way. The pandemic just done F things up. So at least we get two more of those matchups This week, two of their big stars, Kerry Melendez and Aaron Pico, are on the undercard, and you can watch the undercard on MMA Junkie at 4 p.m. Eastern. Any thoughts on that one, guys?
Well, I think it's kind of – you said something, I think it was on Spinning Backlook, where, you know, when you just hear something and it just sort of clicks in your head, it was the fact that Aaron Pico could maybe still slip into that tournament should something happen to somebody along the way. And granted, every round you have less and less of those guys to deal with. But if Aaron Pico really truly has turned things around, he's one of those guys that could beat just about anyone in the world. And if he doesn't slip into this tournament, then you got to imagine between now and the end of the tournament, he can get one, maybe even two more in, which I don't see why he wouldn't be one of the number one guys waiting for whoever wins that tournament, which, you know, whether that is a lot of people have Pitbull, a lot of people have AJ McKee, whoever that is, that's going to be a great fight. And that's going to be an interesting storyline if it's AJ McKee, because they used to train together. So when you said that, it kind of stuck in my head. I'm very curious to see what Aaron Pico looks like. When you hear him speak, I'm very impressed with just the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks to the media. Look, man, Aaron Pico hasn't had it easy. You know, he had a lot of hype coming in, and when he came in, he just did not perform to that level. He had some hiccups, but he's answered every one of those questions, and he doesn't give attitude when he gets asked it. He's very professional, and he doesn't always give the same answer. And I'm not saying that he changes his opinion. He just phrases it differently. He's a very interesting guy. And I'm excited. Anytime you see somebody like that on a card, you get excited. Anytime you see a guy like Pitbull, you get excited. If I'm Bellator, I make sure Pitbull gets paid, because Pitbull, aside from just what he does in the cage, both brothers really, they actually go out there and they cheerlead a little bit for Bellator. I thought it was kind of cool what he said about Michael Chandler, who technically was his rival, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. When you see names like this, it's must-see.
Yeah, you know, I just wonder if Scott Coker was, like, behind the scenes, like, oh, gee, it would be sad if they dropped out and created a chance for Pico. Because Pico, about a year ago, year and a half ago, when all this started, was coming off some brutal KOs. So I think it was best that Pico just wasn't thrown into this mix, even though you know that he's a big enough name that they would have wanted that. But now Pico's a few years removed. He's gotten some wins. He's got his swag back. Oh man, that's my prediction, is I think at some point we're going to see Pico pop in the way we saw Daniel Cormier pop in a few years ago at the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. You know, he was in the alternate bout, won that, and then got in, I believe, in the semifinals, first Barnett, and then would he be in the final? Bigfoot, I think. So good for him, you know, and if Pico can do something similar, I just would love to see him, because he is really an amazing talent. He just happened to have gotten caught. And when you get caught, man, that chin can be very, very suspect. I don't care how good you are, how big you are. If that button gets touched, you can go down. That's unfortunately what's happened to Pico a couple times.
You know what question I like to ask people? So today, I believe today is the anniversary of UFC 1, correct?
It could be, yeah.
I'm almost positive it is.
Also, Ariane Celeste's birthday.
Oh, nice.
How I know that? Because I just happened to be on Instagram yesterday, and I saw her baby. She's a new mom. And, I should have turned my phone off. Sorry, guys. Anyway, I was looking to see. I was like, oh, man, like, is she going to come back? You know, I was curious of her age. And when I saw her age, I noticed her birthday was today, because this was, like, late last night. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, it's the anniversary of UFC 1, and I like to ask fighters, and I'm probably going to ask Sam Alvey this, how do you think you would have done? You know, if you went into UFC 1, you're Sam Alvey, right? Would you have won that tournament? And you know what? It's sad to say, and some people think I'm a Royce Gracie hater. I'm not. I love that guy, and I love what he did, and I thought what he did was amazing. But I don't know. I mean, I think he probably would have won. You know, I think there's a lot of those fighters. Like, look at Aaron Pico, or look at who we were talking about, Pitbull. They probably would have won, don't you think? I think at some point they would have had to deal with the whole no time limit. Like, we got to figure this out. This pay-per-view can't go on forever. But I don't think those guys are getting submitted. And I think that
but if he's matched up in the first round against Gerard Gordeaux or Patrick Smith, can they strike with those guys? Those are some big dudes. Patrick Smith was a good, 6'3" or so? Gordeaux, I think, was about 6'5". And so if Pitbull can get them down, then, yeah, he probably submits them. But if he can't and he's just kickboxing against those two who don't – see, you're basing it just on when you lock horns with Gracie, which is true. You know, I guess that's – if we're gonna really, really revisit the whole event, you got to wonder, did they fight Gracie first? Then, yeah, probably they either get submitted or they starch him and he's out of the way. Or did they meet Gracie in the finals? Well, who'd you meet along the way, you know? I mean, I think most of them beat Art Jimerson for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, depends on who you're asking. I don't think Benavidez against Gordo, I don't know. Ngannou against Gordo, probably. Does Ngannou then get submitted by Royce Gracie? What's that?
Probably. He'd knock him into another dimension.
Who?
Ngannou would knock Gerard Gordeaux into another dimension, dude.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I think they didn't even wear gloves then, so it was pretty much bare knuckle, and they weren't really doing any calf kicks. I mean, is it the Ngannou that started? Because the Ngannou, oh, today? Yeah.
Today. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's how much things have changed. The level of talent that you have now.
How about the guy that fought Miocic, the one that started a gas in round two? Does he beat Gordeaux? If he doesn't finish Gordeaux in round one, does he beat Gordeaux or does Gordeaux turn things around? Remember, goes no time limits.
Yeah, I think he beats him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, just the reaction of when Gordeaux kicked Taylor Tooley's tooth out? Like, it was just that, like, even the fighters themselves admitted, like, whoa, okay. These are people that signed up for that tournament, okay? They knew what was coming, and even they were caught by surprise, like, oh, my God, this is for real. I think a lot of fighters would have that same reaction. I mean, Francis Ngannou is a scary dude, man.
Terrifying, for sure.
But don't you think the names brought up, they're going to win, right? They'd win UFC 1?
Probably. Most of them would figure it out. No time limits is a little tricky. And then there's a few guys that I don't think are built for one-nighters. Remember, all this went down in one night as well. So by that I mean I think there's the adrenaline dump. I think there's some fighters that just – they perform and then they, I don't know if they're ready to perform again. You know, sometimes they get hurt or it's pretty mentally draining. And then the whole, I don't even know who I might fight. I guess they had the brackets kind of set back then, but they had alternates and they had so many things that could pop up at one time. It'd be interesting. It would be interesting. You know, if you fight Dan Severn, if Ngannou fights Dan Severn, and has to wrestle for one round, but then makes it to the end. Or, well, 5 minutes later,
he wasn't one though.
Huh?
He wasn't one though, right?
True. I guess I'm just talking about the early ones, you know, just the Hoist Gracie era. But because Hoist figured out a bunch of puzzles, you know what I mean. But let's say you fight Dan Severn and he takes you down at the 5 minute mark. You finally get on your feet. Okay, great. You knock out Dan Severn. What are you going to look like in the next round? Are you ready to go? What if Paul Varlins beat somebody in 10 seconds and he's fresh? You know what I mean? That's what was so amazing about what Gracie did was all the little intangibles along the way. He had an answer for, you know, all the different styles. He was in great shape. He unfortunately wasn't able to go in the Harold Howard fight, but Harold Howard looked menacing and ready to look ripped, like he was going to rip Hoist's head off. But I don't know, man. Now I'm thinking if Hoist doesn't have that concussion or whatever, the exhaustion, and if he can just get past like a minute or two, he was going to take out Harold Howard too.
It was his hip, right? I think. Wasn't his hip jacked up from Hoist? Chemo? Yeah, from chemo, right?
He was really foggy too, yeah.
Yeah. What cracked me up about Harold Howard was the little tank top he was wearing. It didn't even look like it was a new one. You know, it just looked like it was one of the old ones in the rotation. I don't know. Those events early on were pretty funny. I would definitely go back and watch them. In fact, I might even do that today. Go back and watch UFC 1.
Over at ONE Championship, 7:30 a.m. Eastern, 4:30 a.m. Pacific, Singapore Indoor Stadium. That's their home, and this is tomorrow. John Lineker makes his debut against Kevin Bellingham. Check that out. That's the main event. This one's Inside the Matrix 3, 7:30 a.m. Eastern, 4:30 a.m. Pacific. So it's prime time in Singapore because they're like 18 hours ahead, and it's super early in the morning here on the Pacific time zone, fairly early as well on the Eastern time zone. But check it out if you want to just get your hands on as much MMA as possible. And then, of course, Saturday, Felder versus Rafael Dos Anjos at 155 pounds. All right, joining us now in about 10 seconds will be a former two-division UFC champion. He did it in the light heavyweight division. In the heavyweight division, he also represented the United States in freestyle wrestling, NC2A. Finalist and All-American Daniel Cormier. Be back in 10 seconds, folks.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
There he is, folks.
I didn't know I had to turn it on.
Retired UFC fighter and now,
what's up, boys?
Now commentator, of course, on ESPN and the UFC. How are you, DC?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Doing daddy duties. Daddy duties this morning.
What's the name of the third baby?
Luna. Luna Rose Cormier. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Nice. You're talking kind of low because she's sleeping, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of trying to keep it down a little bit. I don't want to wake her up, but I'll talk loud. What's going on, guys?
Oh, no. You can keep it low. I think it's awesome, man. I think it's awesome. These are some precious days. All right. So, and then things wind up, I was just saying, Saturday, UFC on Saturday. Let me see. Paul Felder versus Rafael Dos Anjos. That one's going to take place on ESPN+. It all starts at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Brendan Allen versus Sean Strickland is the main event there on the prelims. And then the main card starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Your main event, Paul Felder versus Rafael Dos Anjos. We got him back, Goz?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah. What'd you think of your colleague, Paul Felder, stepping up, man, on 5 days' notice?
Paul Felder's a gangster, man, just popping up. They needed somebody to fight. Felder's like, all right. But here's the thing. Felder's been getting ready for like some 5K race or something like that. So he's like super skinny. He's really in shape. He's like, you know what, man? Fight chance. Why not go do it? You know? So, yeah, that's big. Paul's a gangster, man. Dude loves to fight. Dude loves to compete. And I'm excited for him to get a chance to fight a former champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. Big fight for him.
Is it still like the old days where an opportunity presents itself and you can maybe squeeze a little bit more money too since you're stepping in late notice? Do the fighters still do that or is it different now?
I mean, you know, in terms of money, it just depends, right? It varies for different guys. You know, I got a pay bump before I fought Derek Lewis in Madison Square Garden, and that just became my fight purse, right? So it's like, it worked out perfect for me that it just, you know, whatever I made on that fight became what I just made every time I walked into the octagon. So, I mean, there's room, you know, that's the one thing about the new UFC is like, there's always room for certain types of different, you know, money situations, but it does vary with different guys, you know? I mean, this is a business, you know, everybody isn't always treated the exact same, but that's not that way in any business.
TC, I wanted to ask you something. Now that your career is over and you know what it's like to be literally a Strikeforce Challengers guy, not get paid much early on and make your way through these different organizations, these belts, finally to the UFC, a champ, and you saw all that. Could someone like you, I've always been curious, go to Dana, because you have a great relationship with the UFC, a great relationship with Dana White, and just sit there and go, hey, it's time. You need to give us five $50,000 bonuses. The roster needs it. These fighters can benefit. I don't know, just something like fighting for the guys. The same way Joe and Randy and BJ and those guys early on fought for you guys that make millions now.
Well, I think it's like it's been unspoken, right? Like, I believe that everybody started to make more money when Conor McGregor came, like, because Conor started making so much more. So I think as the sport grows and stars like guys like myself and Conor and Jones and Habib and all those Miocic are making seven figures and not only $1 million. You know, before it was like, if you can make $1 million, man, you are doing so well in MMA. But now guys are making millions upon millions of dollars. And I believe that as the sport continues to grow and the stars continue to break through the glass ceiling, the base pay will continue to raise. Now, ultimately, it's on the athlete, right? Everybody wants to. I always tell people this, you know, and I don't know if it comes off as if I'm a guy that loves the UFC, which, and I don't know why I wouldn't. I've made a ton of money in my career, but I think it when guys become draws and they become stars and they become champion, they are paid, right? So it's like it's a matter of getting to where you are supposed to be athletically.
I wasn't in any way suggesting, by the way, a union or an association, mm-hmm. because that's obviously a whole other topic. I was just thinking something that someone with the influence like yourself could mm-hmm. do. Look, Cejudo, Habib, Silva, they just retired. Maybe Cejudo, I could see him walking in the door or whatever. I don't know about Habib and I don't know about Silva. But I'm just wondering if maybe if you guys, rather than look at the whole association union thing, maybe just one little step, maybe that second cornerman gets his travel paid. You know, usually I think it's just you and a cornerman and then you out of your own pocket, especially the international traveler guys have to pay out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
Just one little W where you can now say, hey, look, this is what I helped to contribute. Yeah. And I wouldn't ask this for just anybody. I only ask this of these guys that are super influential. That's why the question comes to you and not like maybe, you know, we're going to have Sam Alvey on the show later. I wouldn't ask him that.
Then he keeps getting a call or
I know this guy keeps calling me, but I'm not answering. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
No. So here's my thing, right? Like, this is my deal, right? And I don't know why the camera went off. I don't know how to use this program you guys use. I'm very uncanny. I am not savvy when it comes to like anything that needs thinking. But here's what I'm saying, right? The cornerman situation. I understand what you're saying, George. I do believe that there comes a time where maybe you do take care of this other guy, right? But there are instances in which I feel like, and I don't know, maybe it's like maybe it's too much like corporation, you know, but I feel like if you and Goz go to do something, right, and MMA Junkie pays for it because you guys are so valuable to the company, right? You bring the viewers, you bring the listeners, people watch because of that. I've always watched that the show because of YouTube. I didn't watch the show for everybody else. I've always watched your show for you. I've always watched Ariel's show for Ariel. I know the guys that do the shows, right? So when they fly you guys there, wherever whatever you're doing, it's because you bring value, right? Those younger guys, they start, they have a cornerman and themselves, you know, and they pay for that. But then as the guys go older and they grow in their career, it's hard for a guy to say, hey, I need more whenever, you know, you're not necessarily bringing back all that much in business. But like Justin Gaethje, right? Justin Gaethje was headlining Abu Dhabi, Fight Island. Just ask Dana, hey, my parents have never been. Can they fly on the charter with us? Sure, whatever. It takes his whole family, right? But again, Justin Gaethje is bringing eyes to that fight. So, I mean, it's almost like as you add value, you have more things come your way. And I'm being honest, man. It's like, I think that's how it is in most business. Most business is this way. So I just don't see many guys stepping outside of themselves to do that as we go forward.
Okay. How does retirement feel so far to you? Is it fulfilling in the sense that this is what you wanted and you could see yourself doing this for the next 5 years, and in no way am I implying a comeback or nothing like that.
No.
You already see that you're going to have to announce a lot or coach a lot. Like, is it exactly how you want the perfect balance of coaching, announcing, and being a father? And
you know what's crazy, George, is like in 2018, I fought three times, right? I fought a lot. 19, I only fought one time. 2020, I only fought one time. So it's not like I was very active. So all that time away from the octagon, I was essentially just living the life that I'm living today, right? Like working TV and doing all my outside jobs just to continue to build my future. I wasn't really fighting very often anymore. So it's not like it's much different. The only thing is now I have that finality to it, right? I know that I'm not going to be fighting again, and I've accepted that. So it's not much different, honestly. But it's just knowing that there is no more training camps coming up. But you know what, though? With that being said, it's also sad. You know, like the other day, one of my friends, Shane, you know, he's from Tree Crew. I'm sure you guys have seen him my whole career. They sponsored me in the Octagon before. We just all became great friends. He came to the house the other day and dropped off an Xbox Series X for my son's birthday or for my son's Christmas. Well, we were just kind of sitting in the garage talking. And it was like, you know, the clips come up of us in training camp and us doing these things. And it does make you miss it. But that's the only difference now opposed to what I was doing the last couple of years.
Hey, DC, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like George and I?
I like you guys a ton. I think you guys have been so nice to me from the very start of my career. We've had some great fun times, you know. I think you guys are great. I like you guys a lot. I like you guys about a 7-8 way up there. That's about as high. Hey, listen, that's about as much as I like my wife. So, you know, you're way up there. Some serious here and there. That's serious rarefied air.
Ghost, is your ego struggling or what? What kind of a question was that, Ghost?
Well, no, because I wanted to make sure that he wouldn't kill me when I asked him, hey, can you just back out and come back and have your camera?
Okay,
come back.
I'll do that.
All right. I was like, what is going on here?
I didn't expect that answer, though. Hey, 7 or 8, I'll take it. Why not?
Yeah, no, okay. How much do you like us? I was like, what's going on?
I think you thought it was a serious question, too.
I was going to call the boss and say, hey, man, give Goz a pat on the back. I think he needs it or something.
All right. Well, remember, guys, this is live, so we don't – usually when we do our recordings, we can kind of take a break and figure these little problems out. But because it's live, we had to do that. And I know you guys want to see Daniel Cormier's face, so that's why we had him back out here and come back on. What happens is they don't have their phone on Do Not Disturb. They get a call on, and the whole thing kind of goes kaput. So – George, why don't you talk for a second while I do what I need to do with the other guy? All right.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So while DC comes back, look at this. That is. Can I rest it here? I think so.
Yeah. Half of the Thursday.
This is a Daniel Cormier bobblehead.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice. Look at that.
Yeah. It debuted a few weeks ago. MMABobblehead.com is where you can get yours. And get this, since we're getting close to Christmas, they also have the ornaments for your tree.
I never would have thought that I would have any of this stuff.
You think John Jones is going to have one on his Christmas tree?
Of me? Yeah, he should. Look at that nice shirt you're wearing, George. This is why I love you guys so much. You know, kick back to the old DC Cage Fighter shirt, man.
You noticed that because the mic was blocking it. Good job.
This whole journey, man, you guys have been so supportive, and I really do appreciate it. I really, really do.
Comes in this awesome box right here. Mm-hmm. The box is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Oh. That was after Airdyne workout. I was just finishing working out, and Brian, I am the Bay, took a picture. Or maybe it was Lazy to Savage. One of those guys took a photo, and it just turned out to be a fantastic picture. Fatigued.
menacing look. Sweat's pouring off. You look like you mean business. Awesome, man. Yeah, MMA bobblehead just came out with that. You've gotten yours already? You got some at home? Do your relatives have any? Or
yeah, they sent me some at the house. I just have to pick them up, and they're at the post office. I have to go get them. I was gone for the last 3 weeks, so – I'm finally home now. I can start to get things done and get my life in order.
Yeah. My box is signed, but I want my bobblehead signed. So hopefully we see you in Vegas. When's your next announcing gig?
I work on the 21st. I work next week. I work the show on the I think it's the 21st, right? When Davison Figueiredo fights against Alex Perez. I worked that one. And, yeah, it's a good one. I'm excited about that fight.
Two champions.
Davison Figueiredo, the type of power this kid generates at 125 pounds is insane. And Alex Perez has shown over time that he's just proved to be such a dangerous, complete mixed martial artist. I mean, he finished his last fight with leg kicks. I mean, this fight is going to be insane. It's great to have those types of fights at 125 pounds because for a long time, DJ was so dominant, right? People kind of started to tune out the weight class. But the reality is it's a fantastic weight class.
By the way, I wanted to go back to something, too. All this talk about, you know, you going to Dana White on behalf of the fighters, it came from yesterday when we were talking to Max Griffin. Mm-hmm. And this guy, that ear that came off his opponent the other day, that was a world star. Steve-O was saying, you should have got a bonus, you know. And I've been thinking about this for a while, why the UFC, when the UFC will maybe get to that fifth bonus. I've also thought about, like, the cornerman thing. And then some of the retired fighters, like Mark Coleman, seeing what he's going through. And I'm, like, wondering, when will they be like the NFL and get to the, you know, sort of a
– No,
retirement, you know?
No, I understand. Like, I understand. All this stuff makes a ton of sense. I have to believe that for that kid with the ear, there will be help. I mean, the UFC will help him to try to help him get back healthy. And honestly, even though the backside bonuses aren't as prominent as they once were, I'm sure that they'll get something kicked in their direction. There was a kid that fought at Fight Island just recently, and it was like it was as much of a performance bonus earning victory that I had seen, but the fight card was so good that I'm sure going back he'll get a bonus, right? Like it was almost unspoken. They had talked in the back with the boss and them, and oh, I'll take care of you. And that's pretty much all you can get. But the UFC does a lot of things that are not known to the general public, and I'm not just saying all this because I work for the UFC. I'm telling you this because I've seen it happen. I've seen them do things. Look, so many times we have our superstars and athletes, and they do these special things for their communities, but then they post it on the internet. That doesn't mean that other people aren't doing things. I mean, every year, my family and I, we try to do stuff in the community for Christmas and kids less fortunate. I don't post it, though, because it's not for that. It's for those kids. You don't need to make it public, but I think the UFC does a lot of those things, too. I remember when the whole Bellator thing came and Scott was paying guys because the fight got canceled. That's fantastic. And I told this to Bob Cook, and Bob goes, the UFC has been doing this for years. But they just don't – it's not public. So I think that a lot of these things are done behind closed doors and not really made into a big deal.
Daniel. I wanted to ask you a question. I just want to tie in a couple things that are going on in the world today to mm-hmm. what's going on with you. And I started thinking, obviously, a lot of people have been tuning into this presidential election. And at one point, I started thinking, man, what if this happened, but in the UFC, mm-hmm. where they said, all right, Dana, you know, your term's up. We got to come up with somebody new. Who would you pick to run for that office? And would you be that guy? Would you want a job like that?
Man, I speak to Dana. And the stress that this dude is under is so tremendous. Like, you don't understand. We were on Fight Island, and I go, what are you doing all day? He goes, DC, you have no idea what it takes to keep this thing going right now. The stress of this job is so heavy that I don't know who could do the job outside of him. I mean, honestly, Scott Coker, the job that he has to do is so difficult. He has a Mike Kogan in his life to help him. Like, Hunter helps Dana. Like, it's such a hard job that I don't know who could do these jobs outside of the men that are doing them right now. So I don't know who I would pick. I don't know who would be next. I don't know who could handle the stress of trying to run the UFC or Bellator for that matter. These are some of the hardest jobs in the world. So when guys sign up to be the president, you got to be out of your freaking mind. Who wants to be the president? Like, it's so hard. It's such a hard job. You want to be the president. That's what you want to do with your life. Like, it's crazy.
Well, you were the first name I thought of. I go, I think you would be really good at it. You sure you wouldn't do that one day?
No, but it's like such a hard job. It's such a hard job. And I just hope that Dana's doing it for a long time. No, obviously, I think anyone would ever have an opportunity to do something like that, they would be an idiot not to try. But it's no, it's not guaranteed that even if you were to get a job like that, you're going to succeed. I mean, Roger Goodell and freaking Adam Silver, like those guys are, those are hard jobs, especially now in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah. And then another thing I wanted to ask you with something that kind of just went on not too long ago yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the anniversary of UFC 1. And I thought about you today, this morning. I was thinking, do you remember one of your first interviews with us? You even told us, like, man, Bob Cook told me not even to throw a kick, right? Yeah. Your skill set was still kind of limited. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like even that limited Daniel Cormier with your college wrestling experience and all that, could you have won UFC 1?
I don't know if I could have won it because I think Hoyce Gracie was in UFC 1, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was submitting everybody. But I think you saw guys like myself and Kevin Randleman and Mark Coleman and those guys that didn't have the striking. They were able to take guys down, ground them out, and win fights. So I think I would have did okay. I'm not going to sit here and say I was going to be Hoyce Gracie with anybody at that point. Like, you just would have did okay because you had that background. Because we've seen guys. Like, one of my coaches, Kevin Jackson, a Olympic champion, he fought. And he got submitted, right? So you could have done well and gotten as far as you needed to go without absolutely being the best. Because I think KJ got to he might have won a tournament and then he fought Frank for the belt and got submitted in 20 seconds. So you got to have a rounded out. Your skill set had to start coming around even back then in order to be successful at the highest level.
Yeah, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit here. You might have been able to
situation. There's a fucking pigeon in the house and I can't get rid of him.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. I kept the camera on him the whole time. You were gone. I'm
bouncing in the walls. I can't come out of here. There's a pigeon in the house. A pigeon in the house.
Holy shit.
I'd be shitting my pants.
I don't want him to shit in our house.
I'm so scared of birds.
Yo, I'll talk to DC. Come get rid of this guy. He's freaking me out. He's flying everywhere.
What am I, the pigeon whisperer? Why am I the guy? All right, talk to DC.
That's hilarious.
All right, DC, I got a question for you. I'm a little out of breath. I've been chasing this motherfucker around. hey, DC, what do you think of swagger jackers on fight night? You know what I mean, or should I explain it?
I don't know what that means exactly.
So, like, Glover wins, or Jan wins, you know, all the ones that have been winning main events. And then the superstars, like yourself, and I'm not saying you're one, but there's a lot of superstar fighters that are out there that throw in that congratulations, but only to get in the door and like me, like a little bit of sometimes John, Connor. Sometimes it can be so gracious. You see it? Yeah, there's a fucking pigeon in here. Sometimes it can be so gracious, but then other times I feel like they just take that shine away from the guy that just competed. And I think it's awesome when the superstars like yourself and John and Connor and everybody else chime in and go, hey, way to go, enjoy retirement, you're the man, this and that. But not inject themselves into the conversation on fight night.
Also, when I fought, when I did this for Anderson recently, I said, listen, man, getting to fight you was one of the greatest nights of my life. I go, I remember watching you at UFC 101. That was the first time I've ever fought or been there. I go, it was tremendous, you know, but I just wanted to congratulate him. And I try to congratulate these athletes on their big performances. I think sometimes, you know, we as athletes, we all have egos, right? We all have massive egos, and active competitors, they don't like the spotlight to stray too far away from them. And I think that's why you get that at times.
I feel like sometimes it's a great opportunity to promote yourself because all the eyeballs are on the sport. I get that part. And I get that sometimes it makes sense, you know, like especially like let's say if I'm going to fight Jan or I want to fight Jan and I'm making noise that night. But at the same time, I don't know, like you guys are such a great fraternity, you know, at times. And then I think when there's time to compete, you build up a rivalry and it can get heated and all. But it seems like on a fight night when everyone's just at home chilling, I'd like to see.
Give the guys time. Give the guys time. Let the guys have their moment. Because guess what, George? We have been blessed with so many. Like, we've been blessed with so many moments. Like, moments that people are just hoping to have one, right? We've had a ton of them. And those moments will continue because we're on TV every day and we're you don't go away, right? Your legacy always stays behind. And I think that the guys that you talk about, we need to really sometimes take a step to the side and understand that it can be about the other guy for one night. It doesn't have to be about him the whole time, but give him his time, especially when they have performances like that. I think the biggest case of that recently was when Khabib was the man, and then Jones just kind of lost his mind. Like, it wasn't about him, so he lost his mind. Like, it's okay if this guy just had such a great performance under the circumstances, lost his father. Now everybody's like, yo, this guy's the best. Okay. For years, people have been saying you're the best, right? It should not offend you to the point that you feel like you have to go on this tangent to answer. I mean, he pretty much answered every single tweet that was sent to him. Like, how do you answer every tweet sent to you when you have that many followers? So I just think sometimes you got to let go of the ego and realize that read the room, pick your time, and do those things in those moments that are necessary.
Do you like having the mic drop moment yourself? Or do you like it when your army comes and says it on your behalf and you can just kind of chill and just, you know, let them speak about how great you are, which is usually what the media and fans do in other sports anyway. Yeah, but I know some people like to do their own brawling.
Well, I don't mind arguing with people sometimes. I think that happened as I got later in my career. I was more open to addressing the bad. But then sadly, it's like you're responding to the people that say negative things, and then all the supporters, you're just kind of ignoring all the praise that they're heaping on you. So I think we need to really recognize what we have in front of us when we have all this support. But yeah, I prefer my fans and my friends and everybody to fight for me, because you do the battling inside the octagon. They do all that stuff for you outside. Fellas, my daughter's starting to wake up.
Okay.
It's almost time for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. Go, are you good? Or he was modeling a pigeon, but I don't know.
Are you done, DC, or you got one more?
I got one more. I'll do one more. My daughter's starting to wake up, though, and she gets mad, boys. Let me tell you, that's the champion of the world. When Luna gets up and she starts screaming, she gets mad. That pigeon would be the least of your worries if my daughter gets going.
Shit, you want to see? I'm going to battle a pigeon.
I went down there. That pigeon scared the shit out of me, dude. Okay. So I just wanted to ask you this. There's a lot of pound-for-pound talk out there. Mm-hmm. Right? We just talked about UFC 1 and how much the game has evolved. I think George is trying to give us a view. At this point, when you're talking about the greatest of all time, the pound-for-pound king, do they have to have competed in multiple weight classes? Oh, George, look at George. He's trying to kill a pigeon. You're supposed to shoot him, George. Do they have to have battled in multiple weight classes for them to even be considered as
I think it helps whenever guys have fought multiple weight classes. But you know what, man, when guys are putting on dominant performance as some of these guys have done in their weight classes, you really can't question anything they do. So I don't believe that it's necessary, but I do think it helps when you start talking about where you stand amongst the greats of all time, you know, because a lot of the greatest fighters we've ever seen have fought in multiple weight classes.
So permit me one more.
Okay.
It'll be fast.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you saw the footage yesterday, Hearns, Hagler, a lot of people posting that fight. There's a lot of these old rivals, but even Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, at some point they get together and they kind of just shake hands. They have a beer. We've seen that moment. And I've asked you this before. Things have changed, though. You've gotten older. You're retired now. You get that call from John Jones. Let's meet up, have a beer. Let's have dinner. What happens? Do you show up? Do you think you can shake the dude's hand and just kind of hang out and reminisce?
I don't know. I mean, that's not even something I've thought about. I think that the things that we have done and said to each other are so nasty, and it's been with so much bad blood that I don't know if it can be just easily kind of washed away. I think that I don't know. I actually, you know, the only time that I think about that is when you guys bring it up, because I never think about whether or not I'm going to be friends with Jones.
It's going to happen. Sugar Ray Leonard went all the way to Panama and finally made a peace, made some peace with Roberto. Sugar Ray was more the one that had it mentally weigh on him, and he did it like 30 years after the fight.
And I suggest you do it one-on-one in a public setting. If you bring, you know, backup or others, I don't know.
Can I show you guys what just showed up to my house?
Yeah. Oh.
All right, we can't hold you up now.
All right.
Very cool. Thanks, DC, for the time, man. Enjoy your day.
All right.
Bye. All right, man, that was cool. I had to adjust the setting here.
I wonder if somebody, if that was like a friend or a family member, nobody just rings the doorbell and leaves a PS5, right? Like,
well, the other day we got the door rang and we got our Manscaped products. And I can't suggest it enough. I'm almost having too much fun going in there and just staying trim. You know what I mean? So get the Manscaped products. I hope they don't send me any more of the ball, you know.
A toner?
Yeah, exactly. Keep them fresh because it's getting a little bit too much fun. I'm starting to get a little carried away. But no, seriously, this thing is badass. All right, no nicks, no cuts, no bruises. I'm gonna sound like Johnny Bench, right? But Manscaped product is awesome. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Let's get mowing. And of course, we got all the info that you need to order yours and let them know you came through because of Junkie Nation. Hit them with that, Goes.
Well, here's what happens, guys. For a limited time, subscribers get not just one, but two free gifts. I'm holding one right now, all right? This is the Shed Travel Bag, all right? It's a $39 value, and you get the high patented performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxers, which, you know what? It might be weird, but I'm going to bring them next time, next show, so you guys can see them. All you got to do to get your 20% off and your free shipping is go to manscaped.com. Type in the code JunkieNation. Give your testies the absolute besties.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. So Manscaped, like in the past tense, skate. Manscaped.com. Use JunkieNation. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. All right, Goes. That was fun having DC pop in randomly like that. Tell me, did we have to reorganize the show because of the pigeon? And where do we stand?
Okay, so here's what happened. We were supposed to have Sam Albion, right? And Sam actually had texted me, can I go a little bit earlier? And I go, dude, we're actually talking to Cormier right now. Can we do it a little later, like a couple minutes? And he goes, I actually have to do something. So we're going to reschedule this interview. I just figured, come on, guys. Daniel Cormier shows up out of nowhere. There's a fucking pigeon in the house. There was a lot going on. So I said, you know what? You and I will just reconnect and we'll figure it out. And he goes, yeah, no problem. So I don't want people to look at this and go, oh, man, did they bump Sam Alvey? That's not what happened. We're not those guys. So it's all worked out. You will get a Sam Alvey interview.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome to talk to because we could talk to him about anything. He just had his fight at Fight Island that ended in a draw. Then he was in town here in Vegas cornering some of his teammates. But he's always a good time. And I don't know that we've had him on, or have we, since we've kind of gone to the more the video format. A lot of times they've just been done by phone, but we're definitely looking forward to that. Also, check out www.youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. Subscribe to that. Why? Because everything that the website does, pre and post fight for all the different leagues, especially with a lot of our writers actually there in attendance. John Morgan, Fatah Hanoun, they were at Fight Island. John's here in Vegas with Ken Hathaway. They're handling all that stuff. Nolan King is over there at Bellator in Uncasville, Connecticut. So you get all that stuff behind the scenes. A lot of the stuff related to Spinning Backlick, rankings report, and a lot of the interviews that we do, as well as the other writers, go to www.youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo and check it out. Subscribe. That way you can see the whole interview. Oftentimes when we recap these interviews, it's basically, you know, a portion of the actual interview with some video highlights, and then that's it. But there's a lot of stuff that happens during the interviews. I don't know about as entertaining as me chasing down a pigeon, but yeah. Check it out, folks. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MMA Junkie George. Follow Goes at The Goes. And our radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. We're going to dip on out of here. Sorry?
I was going to say, you're on Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
We didn't get to see the pigeon. Can we see the pigeon? At this point, you can disconnect your mic and just carry the laptop over there, but we couldn't see him. But I think people aren't going to be.
It's kind of gross, man. All right. Can you see him?
There's not enough light. You need to get a little closer. Hold your laptop, though, because I know he's going to move and scare the shit out of you.
See him?
I can because I know he's there, but I don't know if the audience can because it's real dark. But yeah, right where the cross is there. There you go.
There he is right there. Now, every time I make a move on him, he thinks he can go out through the window.
Yeah.
I wish I could just open the window and it'd be gone. But over here, we have the door, and the door is wide open.
We're going to have to pick him up.
What?
Yeah. All right.
What the fucking pigeon? Fuck no. Those are like flying rats or something like that, I heard.
Hey, man, we're battling Corona. Can't get any worse than that.
All right, just get down here. Folks, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.